That's the spirit.
Good afternoon, Professor Peter Lanham.
Good afternoon to you.
Hey, how's it going, Peter?
It's very well on this wet Monday.
Tis a bit.
Kind of nice to have a bit of rain, though. After
it
such a
sure
long
is. I'm not objecting. Yes. So, did you notice that there was this call from the Minister of Internal Affairs this morning to deal with hate speech and a possible law against hate speech?
I was wondering if we already had some kind of law on this, but obviously we don't.
No. So
they have in the States, don't they? Do they have something like that in the States?
Oh, yes. And in Britain, there are supposedly hate speech laws.
And
no law will actually be called a hate speech law as such.
Right.
Because it's a bit difficult to define.
Is it?
This implies the motives of the person.
Yeah, yeah. It's when you're trying. Isn't it kind of when you're trying to incite some violence or get some violence against someone else?
Right.
Like, I don't know what their laws say in other countries or whether ours is going to be drafted in the same vein or what. But
we've got the Human Rights Act.
John's
about to read a section. Hang on.
It says, it is unlawful to publish, distribute, or broadcast material which is threatening, abusive, or insulting, and likely to excite hostility against or bring into contempt people based on their color, race, or ethnic and national origins, but it doesn't include sexual orientation, gender, disability, or religion.
Yes, that's right. Yes, so it's narrow in the way it defines, and so the idea would be possibly to extend it to add some of those other categories in, and religion would be one of those categories.
Yes.
Now, this is where it gets very sticky, and I thought I'd just report to you on a very big debate that's been going on in Britain for the last 6 months on the issue of religious hate speech, where, so far as I can understand, the law in some way extends to religious hate speech. So here's the example that's caused great excitement, that an elderly Nigerian Christian, so bringing over the stuff from Nigeria, of where there's pretty sharp competition between Muslims and Christians, is standing outside the Southgate tube station in North London, and so begins preaching that Jesus is the only way. And this is an area with a pretty strong Nigerian presence, so there'll be significant numbers of Muslims as well as Christians in the area.
Mm.
And the Metropolitan Police decide that he needs to be arrested because he's a troublemaker. He's breaching the peace, they say.
What's the police's view is perhaps there's another way.
Yes, well, it's
not the
kind
only
of
way.
An interesting question, because you can see that this causes great offence for those who, and you can see there's a stronger case for calling Britain a Christian country, I suppose.
But
isn't that breaching the peace slightly different to hate speech?
Doesn't sound like that person is downing anyone else. It's more just upping their Jesus
franchise.
Yeah,
that's right. I mean, he'd be saying things.
Yeah, so that's...
And whether he actually got as far as saying something against...
Possibly.
Trump, and how far would you have to go for it to be, a breach of the peace, presumably an informal definition of hate speech.
Mm.
See, there's another really interesting case that got Britons highly stirred up in the past week, which was that an Iranian had applied for refugee status in Britain, and his basis was that he had become a Christian because Islam was violent and he wanted a religion of peace, and he chose Christianity. And then I'm not quite sure which department in Britain deals with refugee cases, but whoever it was who was the member of the department, and almost certainly a Muslim, proceeded then to quote to a whole series of verses from the Old Testament to say, well, Christianity isn't peaceful anyway, and so your case cannot possibly be considered. And you can imagine this has caused a furore when a government starts defining which religions are religions of peace and which are not.
I think every single religion will somehow have blood on their hands.
Of course. This is a paradox. They'll all have blood, and they'll all make claims to be peaceful.
Yeah, yeah. Mm, yeah.
And I mean, both cases are half true, you know. I mean, and that's the paradox of the situation. So will we draw the line, you see, for hate speech? And this is the tricky problem.
Yeah, because I still want to speak ill of Scientology and stuff like that.
Yes, so yes, precisely.
I need to be able to say some crummy things about them, and I want to make sure that I can still do that, surely.
So does this have to then be that we define sort of reasonable? Can you have reasonable hate speech? Or is hate in the tone or the shouting or the lifting of the voice?
Nah, because that's, I think mostly these laws will govern is online situations, surely. So how do you know what I mean?
Possibly, although, you know, furores in the street are even more frightening, I think, because they actually can lead directly to violence.
Yeah, but surely that starts online these days.
Yes, well, possibly, and I guess that the online factor is the one we've been concentrating on in this country.
Mm. But it's the most evolving. You know, we've had people, people being able to say what they want on the street, all they want, but you can just leave. You know what I mean? Like, or whatever. You know. Like,
yes. Well, then, so presumably the equivalent would be capital letters in.
Or it's interesting how it has to be against a certain group, and they have to name the groups of people that it's against. Why can't it just be against? Just why can't it just be a blanket thing, like don't say bad shit to anyone kind of thing?
Yes,
I don't know.
What if a religion, it's one of its fundamental tenets, is that, you know, there's something unique in what it holds and that all other religions are wrong? Now, when you put it that way, I mean, clearly Islam and all monotheistic religions take this point of view.
Yeah, see, we've just got an interesting text in here. Question for Peter, if I stand on a corner and say, I hate all religions, is that hate speech?
And you see that too.
If you're saying you hate something, then I guess that is hate speech in a sense, but it's not.
By definition, and yet it seems that if you then proceed to give reasons, which you're surely entitled to do, and see, this is the problem that's going to make the definition of hate speech. I think it will fall foul of the problems of definition.
Yeah, well, I think also, you don't want it to get in the way of people having a decent discussion about anything either, you know. So,
if we can't say religion or a religion is, in our view, wrong, then actually the state is protecting or giving a special status to religion.
Yeah, so is it more a case of, do we need to look at ourselves as a nation and go, are we still a strictly religious place, or are we kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, we were a pretty Christian nation, I guess, but not really anymore.
No, but in a way, one of the things that has come about as a result of the Christchurch violence is actually greater sensitivity to religion. Hmm. I think in the last 3 weeks, New Zealand has moved significantly towards the defence of religion.
Right.
Okay.
Well, religion in the sense that it's a freedom of speech. Like, it's a freedom, you're free to believe in what you want, right?
Oh, slightly more than that. What I've heard is the Prime Minister sort of defending, saying the importance of spiritual support and the importance. There's been felt the need to support Muslim people for whom their religion is a hugely critical part of their identity. And much, especially for Muslim women, you know, the hijab creates a definite identity. And so a lot of what they feel of hostility is hostility to their religion.
Right.
Maybe we need to work on the definition of hostility when we're talking hate speech, because generally, I mean, I guess there's a lot of different ways you can look at hostility, but I would typically think of it as, you know, fear of violence. But I guess when you could also consider hostility criticism of your religion. But I think, you know, it's more of the personal space and more of the fear of physical, you know, action from someone.
But true. But then the other side you've got to consider is that both Islam and Christianity, in particular, have a very strong sense of the public discourse, that the, you know, they desire the state to be reformed to reflect Islamic principles or Christian principles. And so just defending their private right to believe may not, in fact, be the kind of defense that they want. But then, if we're truly multicultural, probably we have to curb everybody's free exercise.
There you go. Yeah. It's kind of the...
So it's just a little teaser, isn't it, of the real difficulties that we're going to face if we're going to explore banning hate speech.
Totally. Banning speech, you got to get down to the nitty-gritty, don't you?
Yeah, let alone the issue if we really do want us to be a very highly surveilled society. And I'm sure that plenty of people have been reflecting on that.
Yes. All right, Peter. Hey,
very
another insightful edition of That's the Spirit. Thank you very much, and we'll check in with you next week.
Brilliant. Okay.
Thanks,
bud.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Should we go?